Great. So we've reached that kind of time in the year that I always dreaded as a kid in school, when you see the back to school signs in the supermarkets with school clothes and all that kind of stuff. It's summer blending into the new school year, although you wouldn't necessarily think it with the weather at the moment. And being a boarder at school when I was young, I used to find it particularly hard because that homesick feeling would start coming into my stomach because I had to pack all my stuff and leave home again three times a year. But actually, the transition from summer to autumn is quite a good time, isn't it, to reflect on life, to think about routine and whether we're spending our time well and why we're doing what we do each day as we go about life. But reflecting on life is not something I find particularly easy. And it's, really that opportunity to step out of what we're doing day by day, taking that time to think. You need proper time, don't you? And discuss with others about your life and pray. And it'll be different for all of us, but for me it's been a particularly difficult thing to do, and it certainly doesn't make preaching and sharing that easy either. As many of you know, I've been working on a PhD and had three kids all at the same time, which hasn't been the most straightforward of tasks. And Abby works as well as a surgeon. And even now my PhD is completed. I work full-time at Airbus, and my typical day is get up at 6:30. Anna and Joey and Ellie come into my room and wake me up. And then it's the rush to get them ready and then get them through breakfast, get them to nursery, get out of the house at 8:00, cycle to work. And then at work, I'm confronted with technical challenges of designing wings of aeroplanes. Then you get home, then you've got the kids back, get them fed, get them up to bed, bath time. And then hopefully they go to bed. And just when you think it's all done and you're downstairs, you hear a little voice saying, "Daddy, I need a wee." And then not only that, you've got to make dinner and clear up all the mess. And so it's seriously, it's busy. But it's going to be different for all of us, isn't it? And it'll be different at different times in life, our routines and what our lives look like. So it's not easy to reflect, I'm sure, for most of us. We're all busy in different ways, so it's not an easy thing, is it? So given the opportunity to speak on any topic tonight, briefly, I've been praying to God for wisdom, because there isn't much headspace. But the reality is, as I've said, we all have busy routines. We all have arguments at home, get frustrated, anxious, exhausted. Life is messy for all of us in different ways. It's not this clean, clinical thing. And so, yeah, it's this mixture of blessing and hardship combined with our frailty and sin. So tonight I wanted to look at Psalm 127. Which points us to the need we have to bring God into that routine, into that mess of human frailty and sin, the chaos sometimes of our lives. And I'm coming to learn that authentic Christianity isn't about squeaky clean devotion to an impossible, disciplined, perfectly sin-free existence that sometimes you kind of pressure yourself into. But actually, it's about this ever-expanding awareness and appreciation of God's grace and love. And as we come to just see that and accept that more and more, it leads to that greater love for God and obedience to Him. It's this life of repentance, of moment by moment, day by day, returning to God's love for us, that we learn that authentic faith finds its home in messy, sinful lives. So let's look at the text of Psalm 127 again. "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." So looking at this psalm, it seems like it has two sections. It's not initially clear how they're related. I was kind of laughing to myself initially how when you look at verse 2, which talks about God granting sleep, and then immediately after, children are a blessing from the Lord. You're thinking, how on earth are those two things connected? Obviously, when you have young children. But actually, if you think about it, in verses 1 and 2, you have the building and the preservation of family and community. And then verses 3 to 5, you have that future continuation of family and community realized through the next generation. So in other words, this psalm is concerned with the building, the preservation, and the continuation of both individual families, and I think the ultimate family of God's people, who at that time constituted a national community. So if you could sum up the psalm in one sentence, it might be, if you don't want to waste your life, live in dependence on God, rest in his love, and recognize the blessing of the next generation. So those are 3 points I want to bring out. So firstly, live in dependence on God. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. In other words, it's a waste of time. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. So the first verse relates to the building and protection of the home. Home being both the building and the inhabitants. And I think there's some kind of play on the Hebrew word for home, which can also mean son and daughter. So it's quite possible here that the house refers to the ultimate home of God's people at that time. So the temple, which Solomon, the author of this psalm, you'll see at the top, built. So it's the place where all the homes, the individual families of Israel would go to gather into one big family, a bit like when we meet together at church. And this kind of view of the word home in this psalm makes sense with the title. It's a psalm of ascents. So it'd be sung when all the families are gathered together going up to the temple for worship. And it's saying you can physically build your house, your family, the temple, and today God's people. But if God is not in it, if you're not depending on God, then it's a waste of time. It's in vain. You can physically watch out for enemies attacking the city, but if God's not with you in that, then it's really a waste of time. So the first point, live in dependence on God. Then secondly, rest in his love. So verse 2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. So to build a home, to defend a city, it does require hard work. So that's going back to how I started with the routine, the busyness of life. And even today, despite modern technology, it's still exhausting to do this work. And we live in what feels like an ever more demanding world. I found this article from The Guardian just last year. 3 in 4 Britons feel overwhelmed by stress, survey reveals. So after serious health conditions such as cancer, diabetes and heart issues, quote, work issues including working outside normal hours, poor work-life balance is the next common cause of stress. In 2016, NHS staff alone took 15 million days off due to stress. When you think the workforce of the NHS is around 1.2 million, that's a lot of days per member of staff. But money problems, especially debts, also a key potential trigger for stress, according to 22% of respondents. And apparently stress costs £99 billion a year to our economy and leads to both physical and mental ill health. But this verse, it says, becoming stressed, becoming anxious is in vain. It's a waste of energy. And it reminds me of Jesus' message on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Don't be anxious about your life, he said. What you'll eat, what you'll wear, trust God. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm absolutely not belittling those with mental health conditions or battling sleeping properly, both of which can be an unfortunate consequence of living in a broken world and completely unrelated to decisions we might make. But as Christians, we have a constant supply of cooling balm, of soothing ointment to apply to the often agonizing stress of daily life, of that unrelenting routine. And so we can rest in God's eternal love for us. If you notice the text, for he grants sleep to those he loves. And in other translations, it uses that word beloved, of God. And so for us who believe the good news about Jesus, we can proclaim joyfully with Paul in Romans 8, neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The trouble is, it's so hard to rest in those truths at the moment when you get the nasty email or when the baby's screaming. That's the thing that always gets me. It's so difficult, children screaming. Or when Monday morning comes around again and again, as it always does. And even today, I've failed to rest in God's love as I've gone about Sunday. And so we've got to keep telling ourselves the truth. And I found this really helpful this week as I prepared this, just to keep telling ourselves this truth that we can rest in God's love for us through every moment, day by day, and the things we're facing. So don't break yourself for any job. Don't break yourself for your family. Rest in my love, provision and care, the Lord says. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there is work to do. We've got to build, protect God's family, our family, life. But we take on the yoke, but we don't have to bear the load on our own. Christ walks alongside us, doing the hard work. It's like he's the great strong ox, and we're there alongside him. We may feel weak, but he is bearing our load with us. So rest in his love. Then thirdly and finally, recognize the blessing of the next generation. So look down at verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And when I read this verse as a parent of young children, I think, gosh, how easy it is to often refer to my children in the negative sense. Oh, they're such a challenge. It's so difficult. I'm so exhausted. And this and that. But God's word here says that they are a heritage and a reward. So even in those times when parenting is tough, actually we've got to remember they are ultimately a gift from God and to be thankful. And in the context of God's people in the Old Testament, the physical descendants were the generation for whom all this work in verses 1 and 2 was done. Children would have been your provision in old age. They would have cared for you and looked after you. No one else would look after you. Your children were your defense in weakness, your provision in work, commerce, justice. But what about today? So this psalm is all about trusting God with your family, depending on God, resting in his love, recognizing the gift of children. But I think these last verses point beyond this to guiding us how we build, protect and nurture our greater eternal family in the church. The family made up of lots of individual people and families. And to recognize the blessing of the next generation within this greater context of the church. We might think of the joy of people coming to know Christ, becoming children of God, as the Apostle John puts it. So why do we build, protect, and work hard for church? It's to see the family flourish, recognizing the blessing that God's community is and our calling to build one another up. So as we grow old and see our family and our church family flourish, we can look back and say we're not ashamed. Our time has not been wasted. So as we move into the new phase this year, into September, the end of the summer, a new term, we can work hard, but we can work hard restfully, resting in God's love for us, as we continue building up, protecting, nurturing our homes and our church together. So are we living in God in dependence day by day? We don't want to build in vain. It's a good time to reflect on whether we're doing that. Are we resting every day in God's love for us? And are we recognizing the blessing of the next generation, not just our own children, but how we can build up the whole family of God for the future. So with that in mind, I'll pray, and then we're going to sing My Soul Finds Rest in God Alone, which points us back to that second point. So Lord God, thank you so much for this psalm, which points us to our deep and desperate need to depend on you, to rest in your love, and to recognize the blessing of the future and the next generation, both in our homes and our church family. And I pray for all of us here and those who can't be here within our church that we would be able to meditate on this psalm this week, that we would be encouraged by it, built up by it, refreshed by it, that your spirit would speak to our hearts, would give us joy in the fact that you walk alongside us, that you bear our burden with us, and that you protect us, and that if we trust you, you will build your house, you will protect your people, and that we can look back in old age with great joy at the work that you've done as we've walked through life. In Jesus' name, amen.